Greetings, I'm Laura Puccivaltorta. Welcome to episode 2 of my podcast, Beach Encounters, Horror, Science Fiction, and Romance at the Beach. This is the second part of the first story entitled Sea Slog. Will the monster help out the Javidian family, or will it destroy them? At the end of this episode, there will be a review of the short story anthology entitled The Best Good Horse by J. Reader Achuleta. Joining us in this reading are my husband, Marco, a computer scientist, and our son, Dante, a musician. Dante is the star guest of my podcast, Dante's Music. I invite you, dear listener, to watch my films, including the feature-length comedy, Bermuda, the short documentary, The Art House, and the short comedy, Disability, on streaming channels such as Tubi and Amazon Prime Video. For now, here's the second part of my short story, Sea Slog. Back in the beach house that night, Alice could hear the giant manatee sliding through the sand and then moaning a song like the mournful call of a whale. The creature was trying to tell her something. On Monday, Puyan was at the beach house, back from the conference, wearing a seashell t-shirt. He brushed past Alice, dancing to Then Leave by Beat King and Queendom Come, and walked out on the porch to study the ocean. The weather was breezy and overcast.
"This place is beautiful,"
he said, staring out at the water. Then he turned to give Alice a big hug.
"Wait until you get a load of the ocean life," Alice said. "You won't believe the size of the manatees."
"Sylvia texted me that she's taking a week off to come see the new place."
Alice turned her phone on.
"I got that text too. I just never look at my phone. Gee, glad I made up the guest bedroom."
"We have 2 extra bedrooms,"
said Puyan.
"Kayan needs to be with us too, the entire family, here at one time."
Kayan, with her straight black hair and pointed black eyes, looked a lot like Puyan. But from the time Kayan turned 13, she and her father argued constantly about women's rights and the correct view of the universe. Alice agreed with Kayan most of the time, but that didn't seem to matter as much to Kayan. Why waste debate energy on the parent who shared your viewpoint?
"We need to spend more time together as a couple," said Alice, "and stop worrying about those girls."
"What have we got to worry about?"
said Puyan.
"Besides our daughters."
Alice threw up her hands. She took Puyan to the restaurant Plums on Bay Street for a special celebratory lunch, honoring the new beach house. He ordered his usual coffee, crab cakes, and rice. She had to remember, always, that this man, her husband, was far away from home and that he had married into her culture. With children and their relationship with the family, this was foreign territory for him. And for her, even after 20 years of marriage, Alice had a lot to learn.
"I can't wait to see Sylvia,"
Puyan said.
"Imagine having a doctor in the family."
He poured 2 packets of sugar into his coffee.
"We're going to have a doctor, a lawyer, and a mathematician in the family."
"What will Kayan become?"
"Maybe an artist," Alice said brightly. Puyan frowned. Kayan's favorite pastime had always been painting and drawing. But that might not live up to his high Iranian standards. Alice had met his family a total of once, and his mother, who covered her head, was disapproving. Puyan's father and older sister had been killed in prison. He had 3 younger brothers, so he felt he could escape to the U.S. When they were first dating, he said that he liked Alice's opinions and her attitude.
"You walk with your hand in the sky,"
he told her, and then he would ruffle her hair. Alice loved that memory. Cayenne likes to argue. She can be a lawyer. She said this to calm Puyan down. As far as Alice knew, Cayenne might move to Wyoming and join a commune. Never speak to her parents again. I think Cayenne will move as far away from us as possible. She wants to be a free spirit. What could Alice say to her husband but the truth? Puyan turned toward her, his eyes blazing.
Our daughter is our baby girl. She is not a free spirit, like some kind of spoiled girl with a backpack.
Whoa, honey, said Alice. Cayenne just wants to be her own person. We have to give her some personal space. Puyan folded his arms over his chest and frowned. In his ripped jean shorts and Birkenstocks, he looked ridiculous. They got in the car to drive back. As they waited on the Woods Memorial swing bridge for a couple of boats to pass, they saw dolphins leaping through the water. We've got a creature that visits us on our beach every night.
What is it?
Maybe a manatee. It looks like a big judgmental slug hissing at me. Puyan stared at her, as if the act of hissing were another form of American obscenity. Our neighbor Sarah thinks it could be a djinn come to rescue us. When they pulled up to the house, Sylvia's green Kia Soul was in the driveway. The sight of her daughter's car melted something hard in the middle of Alice's chest. The front door of the beach house swung open, and Sylvia ran down the porch steps. Puyan leapt out of the car. Sylvia and Puyan hugged each other in the driveway.
My baby girl,
he said in Farsi. Sylvia was tall and bushy-haired like Alice. Her hair, with a life of its own, towered and quivered over her father's head.
Dad,
said Sylvia. Puyan smiled and rocked his daughter back and forth. Alice and Puyan gave their daughter a tour of the house that ended on the back porch with coffee, brownies, and a pile of sour Iranian fruit candy.
I love that you're both taking time to enjoy life,
said Sylvia.
Not like me. You can be free and retire. Medical school is like jumping into a big cauldron of work.
Work hard,
said Puyan.
You will make us proud.
Alice shook her head. Be sure to make some friends at the school. Don't forget to stop once in a while and rest. Enjoy the ride.
So where's my sister?
Puyan's face darkened.
She decided to stay in California for the summer.
That's crazy. She's an idiot. She could be here with us for a month or so. Did you tell her that?
Sylvia was thinking of studying psychiatry. She psychoanalyzed everything. I sent her the money to fly home, said Alice. She bought a bicycle and a new futon cover instead.
Cayenne has always wanted to escape this family,
said Sylvia.
She's always saying, you people work too hard and I want to see the world.
The world is a very harsh place,
said Puyan, as if Cayenne were here in front of them, arguing, her eyes and mouth highlighted with dramatic makeup.
I fixed a room for her, said Alice. It's the smaller room, but almost the same size as yours, Sylvie.
Cayenne will measure it,
said Sylvia.
She'll apply a tape measure to the walls and then compare it to my room.
They stayed outdoors until midnight, talking and just being quiet together. It was a Wednesday night, and very few people walked by the butt end of the beach that looked out toward the marshes and the bridge connecting them to St. Helena Island. Alice took a quick shower and went to bed, leaving the windows open. She was asleep before Puyan joined her. The house felt more comfortable and safe with family there. Around 3 a.m., she heard a loud rumble and hiss, and then a heavy coughing noise coming from the beach. It was dark and cloudy outside. No moon was visible. On the beach, she could see two figures, the huge croissant-shaped manatee and a shiny, human-sized hot dog lying next to it. The hot dog was writhing and breathing hard. Alice ran down onto the beach. Cayenne was lying there, as if newly born, covered in goo and exhausted from the journey. The manatee slipped back into the water.
My baby,
she said, and helped Cayenne to stand up. Cayenne was messy and covered in sand. Her ripped t-shirt and shorts were wet. Her long black hair was plastered to her face.
"The sea creature brought me,"
she said. Alice helped her upstairs and led her into the kids' shower. She showed her the bedroom and then left, as if in a trance, and fell back onto her own bed. The next morning, Alice found 2 turquoise suitcases in the living room, marked KJ. Cayenne, Sylvia, and Puyan were still asleep. "I've dreamed of Cayenne's journey inside a manatee," she thought. But out on the beach, the sand was wet and gross, with lots of footprints, a crater, and a hot dog shape dug into the sand. The tide was coming in. Alice's pajamas were covered in goo. If she said something about this, no one would believe her. She fixed the family whole wheat pancakes for breakfast with real Canadian maple syrup and a big bowl of raspberries and blueberries. This was her family, all together in one place, and they deserved the best. Cayenne was the first to wake up. She stumbled into the kitchen with her long dark hair almost covering her face. "How was your trip?" Alice asked her.
"I don't know."
That morning at the beach, before Sylvia took her first neurology class and met a cute janitor boy named Dante, and before Puyan purchased a motorcycle for 2, before Cayenne aced her technical drawing class and decided to major in ocean biology, before Alice became better friends with Sarah Rubinstein and tried studying the occult, the 4 Javidians sat together on their porch and ate breakfast in silence. They avoided arguments about work and any kind of toxic talk. They smiled at each other. They sat on the porch drinking coffee in the morning sun. When they stood up to face the world, Puyan gathered them all together in a big family hug. The end. Okay, here is my review of The Best Could Good Horse, short stories by J. Reader Achuleta. I agreed to review this book of short stories, and I'm glad I did. Because they're labeled Westerns, I might not have read them otherwise, but they are interesting psychological stories, and I would label them more literary fiction. My favorite story is Imperfections, about sex trafficking, drug trafficking, and small towns in Mexico. A young woman gets revenge after a pimp beats her up. That's the short version of the story. But there is a lot of suspense here and intense personal descriptions of several types of people living in Mexico, including Native Americans and Mennonites. I don't know what held my attention most, Louise's story or the author's explanation of the basic structure of deadly corruption that arises from the drug trade. Another story I loved was A Prayer for St. Michael, about a man deciding whether to retire from the CIA and stay in a small Western town so that he can take a break from dealing with the bad guys. I wonder. I recommend skipping The Last Game at Kazar, which is about the mafia and discriminatory. You could easily skip over this one because the rest of the stories are great. I recommend these 14 short stories to anyone who likes good literary fiction. Until next time.